classify as a camp meeting message. But I got something on my heart. And don't worry, Brother McDonald, you'll have plenty of time to sweep and clean up my mess, all right? Man, it's in good hands. Hallelujah. After my mess is done, it's in good hands. But I want to try to preach to us here if I can. Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. Oh, hallelujah. Such a privilege for us to be here. And we appreciate the invitation. Psalms chapter 22, verse number 1, please. If you're able to stand for the reading of the word, let's look at what Psalms 22 says to us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, am not silent. But thou art holy, oh, that thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. One more time, would you be so gracious to raise your hand toward heaven? Ask God to help me this morning. Father, it's such a great privilege of mine to be at this church and to be with this pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint me to preach your word. I pray that you touch my body this morning, touch my sinuses, my asthma. God, bring a healing to me, and I need you to anoint me to preach your word. I've come with something on my heart, and God, I pray that someone out here, some soul, some heart, some life would be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost this morning. Touch me and help me now, Lord, and I'll give you thanks and I'll give you praise for it in your precious, wonderful name. Amen. And the church said, amen. I would like for you to notice with me, please, the three questions that David asked when he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Why? Why is found throughout the Word of God. It is a common word that we are hearing across our churches is why. Why is a tool in the devil's toolbox? Why? The question of why. It has infiltrated us in our lives, in our hearts. David, this is not the first time that David asked the question. If you go back to Psalms chapter 10, he said, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Amen. He is in, and this is a little Deckard commentary here, but he is in a very perplexed place in his life. Because of these questions that he cannot have an answer to. And the word why comes up. He still reverences his God. He still reverences his God. He says, my God, my God. Amen. Aren't you glad? He is our God. Woo. Hallelujah. He reverences him as God. He doesn't belittle him. He still lifts him up and he says, you're my personal God. You are in control of my heart, my life. My heart still beats after you. My heart still longs for you. He says, you are my God. But there is this problem. Why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. He feels like that God is nowhere around him. He feels absolutely lonely. He feels absolutely that he has all by himself. See, you ain't the only one. Help me, Lord. I said, you're not the only one that feels like that God is a million miles from you. You feel like that God is not there. Now, I've got some sinus problems and asthma problems, and both those combinations to a preacher are terrible. Amen. And so I want to just slow down. I don't have the answer. I can't understand why, amen, good people suffer. I don't know why babies die from sins. I don't know why individuals that are good, living, holiness, godly people go through such terrible trials in their life. I have no explanation for any of that. I have no answer. But let me tell you, in my 20-some years of pastoring, I can tell you I've not been asked the question, why again this trial? Why again this valley? Why again do God is not next to me? Why again do I feel so alone? Why again do I feel so troubled? Why again? Why again? And David explains to us by these three things that David understands how he feels. David is just as human as me and you. You pinch him, he hurts. You stab him, he hurts. David is just as human as us. And we are asking the same thing. We're saying, why, God? All is this. Why does this hurt? Oh, God, help me. We have to understand that we are not the first ones that even ask why. You go over and read in Judges, you find Gideon asked the question. He said, why has all of this befallen us? What is the answer? Where is God at that says he can do miracles? Where is God at that says he can do it? Amen. Amen. Several months ago, I was praying about some things, and I was having a hard time with something, and I may tell a little bit about it, I don't know. And I was having a hard time about it, and God just began to deal with my heart on this scripture again. And God got to deal with me and said the reason that I've got children, I've got people, amen, and the why is what's stopping them from getting total victory in their lives. I told you this ain't what I classify as a camp meeting preaching, amen, but I came with a burden on my heart because we got some folks, amen, and I don't know very many, so I'm in trouble, amen, and we got some folks sitting right here on a pew. They're looking for some answers. They're needing God to speak to their heart, amen, but they got to get over why before they'll ever get to the victory, amen. The devil's using that why as a stumbling block to you. I said the devil's using the why as a stumbling block to you, and you've got to destroy why. Because if you don't, why is going to destroy you. Oh, help me, preach, Lord. Pray, sweetheart. Oh, God. He asked the questions, and he asked, and he says, God, I cry in the daytime. But it doesn't seem like you hear us. God, you're deaf. Thou hearest not. Thou hearest not. God, you're not listening to me. Oh, God, I need to preach a little. Amen. If I don't, it's not because I don't want to. Amen. Amen. Some of you feel like that God has forgot where you are. But God knows.
Just know that Jesus might not lift the home of sweet and pray. Amen. God knows exactly where you are. And I've come to tell somebody, yes, you got to get over the why. Yes. You got to deal with the why. You got to understand. You got to deal with that. You got to trust God. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. God is in control. God knows what is good. And the why is what's killing you. The part that we don't understand. In the daytime.
Oh, God.
thou hearest not.
That's good, brother.
In the night season,
yes, sir.
I'm still not silent.
Still, no.
I still cry to you.
Yes.
I still weep to you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Can I just make myself at home like I'm back in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yeah, come on.
Amen. I walk a little. Amen.
Come on.
Praise God.
Come on.
Amen. I don't know if that makes me preach any better, but I get out here and mingle with you. Praise God.
Come on.
Amen. And he says, even in the night season,
there's
something that works down inside me.
Right.
When I lay my head on the pillow, when I try to go to bed, when I try to go to sleep,
yes,
in that night season, I'm still not silent to you. I still shed tears. I still pour my heart out to you because I still believe you're my God.
Amen.
I still believe you're in control.
Amen.
But God, I'm struggling. God, I'm hurting. I'm in trouble. I don't understand where I'm at. Why has all this come to me? Why? And that same why is what's on it. How about you, Lord? Would you raise your hands and song? Whose children are straying. They're going further in sin.
Come on.
I see the gray-headed mother laying on the pillar, and tears are running out of her eyes, down off of her, out of her eyes. And I heard her say, God, I raised my children in church, and look at where my children are. Look at where they're all. I've stretched out to them. I've done everything the preacher told me to do. I've reached out to them all. And my children are going to die lost. I come to tell you that no lack of patience at all. You raised your children in the house of God. What you got to get over is that why you're not trusting in God. You got to get out of God.
Help us,
Savior. Oh God. I understand. Even today, I don't have the answers for you. Even today, I cannot but just point you to Scripture and tell you we are not going to understand everything that comes our way. We're not going to understand every situation. The word why is found throughout the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Over 130 some times, you'll find it. You'll find the questions. Even as the disciples stood there, watched Jesus go away. And they came and said, why do you stand here today? Why? Hey, why is going to be part of us?
Oh, help us, Jesus.
But what you do with your why in your life is going to determine your destination. If you're not careful, you're going to allow the why, the questions, and not the devil's going to jump on your back and say, if you're really good, as good as you really be, God, if God really loves you like he said he does, if God really cared about you like he said he did, you wouldn't be living, you wouldn't be a quarterback, you wouldn't be in that storm, you wouldn't be in that trouble. But I come to tell you anyway, trust God. But you can trust in God. Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I can't understand why some ministries never take off.
Trust me.
I don't understand why some churches remain small.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Why?
But I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned
trust
in God.
Yeah.
I don't understand those things.
Through it all.
Huh?
Come on.
The old timers told me, said, if you'll preach holiness, righteousness,
you'll have a church that'll flourish. I took it to heart. I've got to write to you, my church said, God told me if I preach all this righteousness, you'd be here. God, seems like we struggle more than we have victories. God, I don't understand that. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. I really feel like that, Tommy. And he helped me last night. Your daddy helped me last night. And been sitting at the table. And me and him know. And I said, oh. He said, but I'm telling you, I understand there is pain in life and grief in life. I understand it's a hard place to be. But I also understand this. It's a tool in the devil's box. And God dealt with me a few weeks ago, months ago. And if that's the hang up amongst these people out there, it's stopping you from going on. You cannot understand why. About a year ago, this is where I was. I don't know how long ago. I'm going to hurry. About a year ago, almost just here in a few days, my daddy died of a massive stroke. My daddy was, I just hung up the phone with him, Brother Rich, and 23 minutes later, my sister calls me.
Jesus.
And says, Jim, you need to get home. Dad's had a stroke. I'm thinking, paralyzed. Yeah. One side, I said, okay. Yeah. You'll be all right. My sister got to crying. She said, no.
No.
It's bad.
More than that.
I said, I just talked to Dad in 23 minutes. She said, no, you need to get home.
Why?
All right. I understand. But there's a problem. My daddy was not a Christian.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Come on,
why?
Man.
Why?
Come on, oh God.
So good.
My heart ripped. My mom called me. I lived 2 hours from my folks. And so I
help him, God. Come on.
This is probably more for me than it is.
Come on, brother. You're preaching to me.
So, Brother Crawford, I got my wife, and we was moving. She wouldn't let me drive. I was really tore up, and I wanted to get there.
Sure.
And while we was driving, Mama called me and she said, Jim, said that your dad's here. They're going to put him on life support. They're going to try to keep him until you get here. And I said, Mama, I didn't talk to Daddy. But you got to understand something else. Mama ain't saved, dude.
Oh, God.
I got saved when I was 7 years old because somebody took us kids to church.
Well, hallelujah.
I got the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old. I started preaching when I was 14. I'm 45. I know I don't look it, but I am. I lived all my Christian life in front of my parents. And my parents still are not Christians. And I lived in a home where mom and daddy did not go to church. Let somebody else from the church come and pick me up and took me to the house of God. And God touched my life and my heart. And I got saved. So I had a problem. I said, Mom, I need to talk to Daddy. And so she took, I said, put the phone down there and fix the Daddy. And then she said, Jim, they don't know if he's going to make it. They don't know. She said, they don't get out. They don't think they can keep him. His heart rhythm's going way high. And it looks like his heart's about to explode. I said, Mama, just put the phone to Daddy's ear. I need to talk to Daddy. Y'all hear me? Hey, now, and I'm saying this because of this. Maybe you've got a sudden death. Maybe you've had a sudden death in your life, and you can't get over it. You still stuck with why? Brother, I understand. I walked down that road. I've been there. There was no time to say goodbye. There was no time for a final hug. There was no time for a final word. There was no time.
Amen. You don't realize how God's alive really is. Amen. Hey, oh God, I'm telling you, why? That's not you stuck. You got to get up over it. Woo! I said, you got to get up over it. Go on.
Help.
Amen. Mama, put the phone down to Daddy's ear. And I'd say, Daddy, call on Jesus. Daddy, talk to Jesus. Daddy, call on Jesus. Daddy, talk to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. I did all that. Mom got back on the phone. She said, Jim, what are you doing? I said, Mom, I'm trying to talk to Daddy about it soon. She said, it's hard when it's calling back. I said, he took his thumb, rubbed it across my knuckles. I said, let me talk to Daddy. Let me talk to Daddy. And I went on back and she put the phone back. I said, Daddy, talk to God. Hold on, Daddy, I'm on the way. Hold on, Daddy, I'm on the way. Daddy, don't leave me yet. Let me get there, Daddy, I'm on the way. And I was able. I mean, to make a long story short, he survived until I could get there. Amen. And I walked in that room, see my daddy. I got up next to his ear. I said, Daddy, I'm here. I said, Daddy, I'm here. And I got hold of his hand. And he took that thumb. And he went like that. I said, Daddy, God is going to help us.
Hallelujah.
I talked to my daddy that day. That is so.
All right.
My family all around.
Glory.
I said, Daddy, you're about to go into eternity. You're about to go into eternity, Daddy. You got to talk to God, Daddy. And we all went, oh my God. What's that? That was my
yeah, but thank God for that. Come on. Thank God for that.
Help us, Jesus.
Thank God for it.
I'm trying to preach to you today that some of you are hurting so bad over the why in your life that it has got you stopped. And you feel like, just like David did, and you absolutely feel alone, and that God is nowhere standing there by you. And I came all the way from Kentucky to tell somebody, God's not near as far away from me as you thought he was. Every God loves you and cares about you. Every God is standing there beside you. Every God wants to help you. Every God is saying, where are you at? God says, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Give me your life. Give me your heart. Give me the faith you don't understand. Because remember, I'm going to sound like a whole thing. Give me the why in your life.
Help us, Jesus. Help us.
I stayed with my daddy.
Oh, glory to God.
Prayed with my daddy.
Glory to God.
Watched his heart rate slew back out.
Oh.
About 4:30 they come in. They said, we gotta take him. I said, take him home. Take him home. And then we let him go. I preached his funeral. They said, what are we gonna do? I said, I don't want somebody coming in here. I didn't know my daddy.
Oh. No.
I'm going to preach it for
my
life. She said, Jim, how in the world? I said, I don't know, but I'll do it by the help of God.
Come on.
My family that was hard against us, hard against Pentecostal holiness, amen, my family stood in amazement when 23 preachers walked through that line. And one of my aunts that was so hard against us said, honey, I guess you're doing something right. My old pastor didn't even come and show up. Amen. And said, you've had all kinds of people come through to comfort you and to help you, brother. But the hardship came after the funeral. It was the phone calls that I missed. God, I feel like I'm preaching. And I'm all over. I feel like somebody's going to have a hard time. You got to deal with the why. Even in death, it's hard. I said, it's hard. But I refuse to go any other way. I said, God, I'll stay with you. And God, I'll stay with you.
What got me into here just some time ago was it got to bother me that Daddy died lost. I was having a hard time. Now, I am not putting my daddy in heaven. Listen to me. I'm not putting my daddy in heaven. But I'm not putting him in hell either. And I don't believe the in between. But I'll tell you where I left my daddy. I left my daddy in God's big, mighty, gracious hand. Because my daddy knew how to pray, and my daddy knew God. And if my daddy knew who to call on when he needed prayer, and my daddy didn't know a few things. Amen. And I come to tell somebody, you got to get up over the wire. Amen. And get affected my church. My church was gracious to me. They loved me. They supported me. They told me to take as much time as you need to be open. You do what you got to do. But right here today, some of you are really having hurts. You're having a problem over it. And you got to get over the wire. You got to get over. You got to deal with the area of hurts and loss. Listen to what David said.
Yes.
As I hurry. And finally David says about his God. He says, let's read it right here. He says this. But thou
are holy. That's it right there. That's where you trust. Put it all right there. All the wives. Put all the wives right there.
I believe somebody in this house ought to raise their hands and say, but thou art holy.
Yeah.
I do not believe it's a sin to ask why. Jesus himself, as he was dying on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes, he did. He uttered those words. Yes.
Come on, man. I'm about to go back to Kentucky. But while I'm out here, let me preach to you. If I can't preach, let me talk to you. I understand, says it hurts. I understand. Sometimes in that night hour that you feel so alone and you feel all broken up.
Go on, brother.
Don't want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will come to you in the middle of the night season. I said the Holy Ghost will come to you. You're not alone. You're not forsaken. Oh no. I don't know who you are. I just feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost. You're not by yourself. He does hear you. He is watching you. He sees your tears you're shedding. He knows the brokenness of the heart. He knows how weary you are. And he comes to the day. I'm not that far from helping you. I can give you strength in a moment's time. One touch of my presence, it'll make all the difference in your life. I know who you are. I know your name. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. I know you're going to be here this morning. I know you're going to come today. God says, hey, I'm not forsaking you. A few months ago, Mary Richie, my wife, who lost her father, suddenly to a heart attack 2 years before. She said, Jim, if you do not deal with this, it's going to cause you to get better.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, man.
You got to learn to deal with it. So, just me and God. There's something hurting me. My daddy quit drinking. He had never run all his kids off. My daddy quit drinking. And my daddy came back to us 25 and a half years ago, probably 24 years ago. And he said, I realize what I have done to my family. And I would like for you to forgive me for every time I beat you, for every time I hurt you, for all the times I come home drunk. For all the times, everything I've done, would you please forgive me?
Hallelujah.
I said, Daddy, I forgave you back then. I said, I just need a daddy right now. My siblings did not do what I did. Caused friction. But I said, my oldest brother, how can you forgive a man that has caused us so much pain and hurt? I said, I'll tell you how I can forgive you.
Yeah.
It's because I have been forgiven. My baby brother that's in prison wrote online and said, I wish now I could have told Daddy, I forgive you. I wish now I could have made it right. I wish now I could have said, I accept you, Father. But now he sits in a prison cell. My baby brother sits in a prison cell dealing with the why that he never dealt with. My wife told me, said, if you don't deal with the gym, you're going to get bitter. It's going to cause you. I went to that church. I tried to preach my way out of it. I tried to do everything I could, Brother Crawford, to come up out of it. Brother Tolliver, he stood beside me. He'd say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And great. That really was great. But it wasn't helping me. It wasn't deep inside. And one, when I realized that my wife, amen, Brother Dudley, well, I've known him for 7 years. He put a little pressure on me today before I got up here. Amen. I'm trying. All right. I'm trying to preach to you. Hurry up. Amen. And so I finally needed God, God alone. And I said, God, as I stood by my daddy's grave, as I stood and I looked at him and wept and cried like a baby, and I said, God, I put my daddy in the hands that's never failed me, that's never let me down, and I leave him there. And today in this grave side, I deal with the why in my life. And God stole my heart that day on the hill. And how many more are dealing with it in their lives in our churches? And so I came all the way to Oklahoma with a burden of my heart to try to help somebody. You got to deal with the lie. I cannot erase it. We cannot make it better. But I can tell you who can help you. And that's the Holy Ghost that I feel in my soul asleep in this congregation. It's the Holy Ghost. He'll help you deal with your mind. Would you raise your hands? That's God.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, holy, holy.
Oh, come on, raise your hands. I'm sure, I don't know whether they're aware now, but I'm sure we got a moment. Come out of the Holy Ghost of heaven. Give a solitary quiet in your life. We got a moment to worship him. All those things you're struggling with. We got a moment. Come out of the Holy Ghost. That's your life. Come on, raise your hands over. Our fathers trusted you. And you be delivered. And so will there be a generation rising in the face of hell. Let us still trust in God. Let us still hold to the nails in our hand. I know you're fighting sickness. I know you've come and been anointed and left the same.
Come on.
Why can I be healed? Oh, you can. I said you can. I said you can. Somebody needs some healing here today. Amen. It may not be physical, but you need a spiritual healing. Why is God in these places? If you don't destroy life, it's going to destroy you after a while. And after a while, you're going to find yourself standing on the outside, looking in, and saying, what got me here was I refused to deal with the lie.
Hallelujah.
Preach, my brother. You're carrying some stuff so deep inside. It hurts. Come on. Lord, I'm going to quit now. Lord, I'm shed tears tonight. Lord, I'm crying today, Jesus. But we're going to trust him. God is still good. God is still great. My God in heaven, I'm not sure. Oh, God. I'm going to get in trouble if I ain't careful about this. God is still good. It don't matter what I pray. It don't matter how many tears you shed. God is still holy. And it doesn't change. It doesn't matter how many times the devil's of hell say it. He's still holy. He was holding on with the end. He'll be holding in the end. He'll be dancing around the throne. He'll still be holy. Oh, my God in heaven. I'm trying to quit, but I feel the Holy Ghost on my soul. My God. Amen. I said, my God. Amen. I was saying, I'm going to heck up in the air. That's the living of the Holy Ghost. And let the Holy Ghost touch your life and put some sand on your heart today. Misunderstood, even at your best. But God is faithful. God knows. God understands. Even at your best, we're still misunderstood. Even at the struggle of life, we're still misunderstood. But it does not change the fact that God isn't holy. And it doesn't change the fact that he's not worthy of praise and glory. It does not change the fact that he is young and powerful. It does not change the fact after all these years and all of a sudden, amen, the enemy comes in. It says, why? You preached God faithful, you preached God high, you preached God mighty, and you can't get a healing for yourself. Why? Why don't you just throw your hands up and quit? Amen. Somewhere outside that comfort, something rises up. It says, there's no way I can quit God now. I said, there's no way I can. But I'm going to deal with the lie in my life. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to praise God. That's holy. Would you raise your there.